The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Wednesday, June 26, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, we want to welcome you to the program. If it's your first time joining us, first time jumping on board, somebody invited you into the program, you stumbled upon our podcast or broadcast, whatever that looks like for you, can you let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from? Because we'd love to acknowledge you. And of course, before we get started, we got a lot to cover tonight. I'd love for you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that push notification. All this is going to ensure that you not only can you keep up with us on these platforms by doing this, but it helps push our content out there so others can see these updates as well. So tonight I'm going to cover a few topics. I want to kick it off tonight by talking about, as you know, we're society as we know it, the world as we know it, is on the precipice of a third world war. We're the closest to another global war that we have been since World War II. I mean, things are escalating. There's all kind of factors that are pushing us to the brink of this reality. And I thought this was an interesting. And one of the keys that could be pushing us to this is it could be famines. It could be the desire of land grabbing. That's going on by the elites, such as like Bill Gates, and even China is buying up huge swaths of land. And I thought this was interesting. I'm going to show you this this headline from The Hill. Says global rush for farmland could trigger world war. This is according to an opinionated documentary, again stating that a global rush for farmland could trigger a world war. The report states that a global network of powerful entities fueled in part by Wall Street is buying up land and water around the world. According to this report, this global land rush has led to wrecked wells and lost farms from Arizona to Zambia, and it risks sowing the seeds for future global conflict. Again, this is according to a new documentary by The Grab out today from the director of Blackfish. The film follows a seven-year investigation by producer and journalist Nathan Halverson for the Center of Investigative Reporting as he reportedly peels back the layers of a deceptively simple question. Why did a state-backed Chinese corporation buy America's largest pork producer in 2013? This documentary hits U.S. markets at a fraught time for food policy. Congress remains deadlocked over the farm bill, and critics on both the left and right are raising concerns over the impact of corporate consolidation on U.S. agriculture as farms grow ever larger and more specified. Republicans in the House and Senate have proposed freezing food aid at current funding levels to direct tens of billions of dollars and additional subsidies to high-income farmers of rice, cotton, and peanuts, crops which significant percentages are exported to the wider world. This documentary digs into some of the forces driving the consolidation and food exports and their potential consequences. This is what I want to talk about here briefly, and then we're going to move on to why we're talking about famine today. That's not going to be our whole entire podcast tonight, but I want to deal with the talk of famine because this is biblical. The Bible talks about famine. It talks about it in the end times. It talks about it during the tribulation. One of the horse riders is the black horse and rider that comes on, and he brings famine. And the Bible talks about that famine will grip the earth during the tribulation. As countries like China import food, Halverson notes in this documentary, they're often doing this as a proxy for water, which is the world's most populous nation. And it's running short of amid population movements and climate change. The combination of those potential shortages and a rising and increasingly carnivorous middle class in China and elsewhere have combined to create a global push to buy up fertile land in places where it is still plentiful, howbeit the United States of America. Another location is Africa. In the documentary, Brig, one of the riders here and who is an activist in the Zambian town of Zarinji, I believe that's how you pronounce it. He says foreign investors have been buying up the ancestral land of villagers and kicking them off of it. And back in 2015, Halverson broke the story that a Saudi-owned alfalfa farms were sucking down the groundwater of Arizona to grow feed for cattle, something for the kingdom grew itself until it depleted its own groundwater. So what he goes on and he details in this is you have these governments of China, India, Brazil, Saudi Arabia, and these elites all know, watch this, that something's coming down the pike. They know that things are only going to get worse. Droughts, famines, extreme weather patterns, extreme heat. The word they like to throw around, the CC word, the global warming words, all of these things. Wars, factions, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. I'm just throwing some biblical aspects to that. And that when you cup all this together, this is a breeding ground for you're going to have water wars. That's a tongue twister. You're going to have land grab wars. Why? Because all of these countries want to make sure that there is adequate enough water, food, and supplies for their own people in their nation. Now, when I was putting this together, I thought of something. And I want to read this to you. When you go to the book of Ezekiel 38, 39, which most teachers of eschatology, preachers of end times, those who study this, they understand this as the Gog-Magog War. This is a future war that has not happened in our lifetime, but this is future tense, wherein which God himself, I want to remind you that, God himself will put hooks, plural tense, into the jaws of multiple nations that will form a coalition to come into Israel. Now, here's what's interesting. It says, again, this is Ezekiel 38:4. I've pulled this up on the screen for you guys watching visually. You guys listen by Apple and by Spotify. This is Ezekiel 38:4. God says, I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws and lead you out. What's interesting is, number one, there's hooks, plural tense. And number two, they go into the jaws of these nations. Well, you know, you know what you use to eat with? You use your jaws. So scholars have sat around and they've speculated, what is the hooks being placed into the jaws of these nations to pull them in, lure them in, entice them to come in and invade a peaceful people that is dwelling in safety and without walls? Again, we could sit here and speculate all day, but one of the answers to this could be food and water. And if there is, watch this, if there is a famine, a drought of significance that's taking place in the Middle East and is impacting these nations around the entire Mediterranean Sea Basin area, right around Euphrates River region, something is going to pull these nations in. And this could be, again, just like every other scholar, we're only throwing speculations out there. Nobody can be dogmatic about this, but it could be possible that the hooks in the jaws is the luring, or the enticement, I should say, of food and water and the supplies that they need. Now, just again, I want to recap this because we got some more stories in this same area of ballpark that we're talking about here. Famines are complex. It is a complex event that takes place, typically caused by a combination of factors that play into this. It's not a single cause, but it's a multiple factors that play in this. Now, I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about where we're at right now, what's going on. Number one, natural disasters, droughts, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, all these result in the disruption of agricultural production. They destroy crops and they lead to food shortages. Okay, number two, conflicts and wars. Armed conflicts also play a role in disruption of food production, disruption of system disruption, access to food supplies, It can also cause displaced population. It also makes it difficult for people to grow or access food themselves in their locations where they're at. Then you have economic factors that play in, such as instability, poverty, lack of infrastructure, inflation. Hello, do I got your attention? Unemployment, economic policies passed by certain legislations and leaders. All of this can hinder agricultural and exacerbate food shortages. And then there's political factors, government policies, price controls, export bans, mismanagement of food disruptions, all of this political instability, corruption, lack of governance, all this can hinder and cause food crisis. Then you got the environmental degradation or the deterioration of the environment. This, for example, land degradation, deforestation, soil erosion. The mainstream media is always about the climate control, global warming, all this. Social factors, instability, lack of access to markets, social inadequacies exacerbate. All of these things can exacerbate this situation as well. And then number seven, disease. Diseases. You remember Jesus said there'll be pestilences. And the word in the Greek, pestilence or pestilences, is a disease that leads unto death. This all falls under epidemics, pandemics. All these can affect crops, livestock, food disruption. Hello, remember back what happened during the last pandemic. So the bottom line is, guys, all of these factors converge to create famines. It causes food to become scarce, inaccessible, unaffordable to large numbers of people groups. It affects and causes disruption to humanitarian aid, economic intervention. All of these things transpire to this and produces this. So why am I saying this? Because when we read about in the tribulation, for example, when that black horse rider comes on with the scale and it talks about a whole day's wages will be required to pay for one loaf of bread, that you're not just going to wake up one night and you go to the grocery store during the tribulation and, oh, look, this loaf of bread costs in my entire paycheck. We're not going to wake up to that. I don't know why people can't get this through their head. There is going to be a series of events and situations they're going to culminate I call them prophetic stepping stones that are going to lead us to that big event. And I believe we're there now. I mean, if you look back and look at charts, look at numbers, look at percentages, look at all these things, look at the cost of your average grocery items 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and look how it's progressively going up and up and up and up. And again, I understand that there was a time in history when it was a whole lot worse as far as, and we call that the Great Depression, and it was worse than it is now. But friends, the Great Depression didn't just happen overnight. There was a series of events that I just told you about, a culmination of events that produced that event. And I believe history is repeating itself and we're on the same track again to getting into that place again. Now here's another, again, we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. The entire state of Virginia is reportedly under drought warning. Farmers are also predicting that they're going to witness the first crop failures. So plural tense in 10 years. Again, if you're listening to this, you're in the state of Virginia. Your entire state is under a drought warning. Farmers in your state are predicting first crop failures in 10 years. Home to more than 8 million Americans, the entire state of Virginia is being, the entire agriculture and water availability is under a threat and could spark devastating wildfires as a result of this ongoing drought. Farms are specifically concerned about the issue, with many fearing that they will witness the first crop failure in 10 years. This comes as this report indicates that Virginia has 41,500 farms in operating, or excuse me, in operation, covering 7.7 million acres that primarily export corn, wheat, and soybeans throughout the U.S. The state is the fifth largest producer of soybeans in the nation. I'm going to say that again. The state of Virginia is the fifth largest producer of soybeans in the nation. So this, again, has the potential to impact the entire nation. Quote, there are going to be crop failures down here this year, and it's something we have not seen in 8 to 10 years. This is according to Robert Vaughn, who is the owner of Vaughn Farms, who told local affiliate 10 Wavy News. Quote, it's been a dust bowl. Now, again, that's a statement right there. If you know history, this country experienced dust bowls. And you know when they occurred last on a really a extreme level was during the Great Depression, right around that time frame. I don't dare plant the seed because it's not going to come up. The Daily Mail says Virginia is not the only state with areas experiencing drought, as 10% of the lower 48 states are now under some type of warning or watch. Declining groundwater levels and lower than normal stream flows made the drought warning necessary and were worsened by a combination of high temperatures and lack of rain in the region. And again, this comes as 21% of the U.S. population, around 70.2 million people, are currently living in areas with dangerous heat waves this week. UN officials established a goal of completely eliminating global hunger by the year 2030. We're in the year, again, that's 6 years out from now. But it is apparent that they have failed miserably. According to the UN, someone is dying from starvation every few seconds as the global food crisis continues to accelerate. Unfortunately, experts agree that we are experiencing right now, what we're experiencing right now is just the beginning, because land is being degraded at a staggering pace. 40% of the world's land is already degraded, and it is expected that and that figure is expected to reach 95% by the year 2050. The UN World Food Program has come out in a recent warning stating that some of the poorest parts of the entire planet have already reached a point where there are zero harvests left. Now, again, remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be famines, plural tense. The director of the World Food Program's global office recently stated that droughts and flooding have become so common in some of the poorest places on earth that land can no longer even sustain crops. Martin Frick told recently the British Broadcasting Company, or the BBC network, that some of the most deprived areas have now reached a tipping point of having zero harvest left, as extreme weather has pushed already degraded land, has already pushed degraded land beyond use. This has put parts of Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America all now fully dependent on humanitarian aid to even survive. I want you to listen to this next statement. This is chilling. The Global Environment Facility estimates that 95% of the world's land could become degraded by 2050. The UN says that 40% is already degraded at this point. We're already at 40%, and they're saying it by 2050, it'll be 95%. When soil degrades, the organic matter that binds it together dies off. This means that it is less able to support plant life, reducing crop yields, and absorb carbon from the atmosphere. So when this takes place, what does this mean? Here's what it means. According to the chief science officer of environmental group Save Soil, he stated that when we get to that point, it's going to be like Mad Max. Quote, it's going to be disaster for human beings. Again, this comes from the chief science officer of environmental group Save Soil. He said it, and he called it a Mad Max scenario. He went on, she went on to say that, quote, there will be no humanity when this gets to this point. There will be no charity. There will be no fairness. The only thing that lets you be will be survival. Wow, that sounds almost like the tribulation, doesn't it? Everything she described there is what you read. And when you get over there and the horse riders are unleashed, and then the wars are unleashed, the famines are unleashed, all of these things are unleashed. This is what, if you were to describe that, that's what it sounds like she's talking about here. Now, again, just to recap here, the Bible tells us that famines will be a part of the end times. Matthew 24:7, and the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, plural tense, in various places. Mark 13:8. Again, Mark reiterates this same thing. He said there will be famines. Luke 21:11. He also says there will be famines in various places. Revelation 6:5-6. It talks about a black horse whose rider represents famine. And it says here, when the third seal is open, there will be a black horse rider with a pair of scales in his hand, and a voice that will be speaking among the living creatures, saying 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do no damage or do no harm to the oil and the wine. Now, listen, some of you may not be aware of this, but we've had some of the most catastrophic famines in history that were not in the tribulation. So to say that we cannot see, and I know a lot of people, again, I want to emphasize that we have a lot of people that, you know, you've been convinced by preachers behind pulpits. And I'm a pre-tribulation rapture believer and teacher. And you guys know this if you've followed our channel for long enough, or our program, or our ministry, whatever the case may be. But as I've always stated, I believe we, the church, and humanity will experience a lot more than what we have been led to believe. For example, did you know that some of the greatest famines in history were in 19... For example, there was what was called the Great Chinese Famine, 1959 to 1961. There was 15 to 45 million people that died due to starvation and related factors. Again, this was a famine in China from 1959-1961. There was a famine in Soviet Ukraine. Hello, that around 2.4 to 7.5 million deaths occurred. This was between 1932 and 1933. Then there was the Bengal famine, 1943, 3 million deaths. North Korean famine of the 1990s, hundreds of thousands to over a million people died to starvation and related causes. The Irish potato famine, 1845 to 1852, approximately a million people died. The Ethiopian famine of 1983 to 1985, somewhere between 400 to 1.2 million perished during this famine. What am I talking about? Again, we're not exempt from this. Just because, you know, you're alive and you're speaking this and we're Americans or we're in the West doesn't make us exempt from experiencing things like this. These other nations have seen this. We have been blessed to not see this. But listen, I'm going to warn you again before we move on to these other topics. When a nation rejects and turns from the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it opens the door for God's favor to be removed from that country, and the consequences of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 then come upon that nation. And one of them is God says, I will bring famine to your land. Now, we've got more to cover today, so I want you to hang in here. We've got some interesting topics here. I'm going to bring this up. Look at this headline. The sign of the devil has appeared in New York City. What? What in the world is this? From June 16th through June 19th. So this has already happened. This is past tense. From the 16th of June to the 19th, a 270-foot dragon was wrapped around the Empire State Building in New York City. In addition, giant banners featuring dragons with an ominous message stating that, quote, all must choose. Very interesting. All across the Big Apple and throughout the city, restaurants included, There were dragon-themed menu items. All of this was being done to promote the second season of House of the Dragon. And those behind the campaign was likely unaware of any spiritual message that was connected to this. And I want to stop right here and then want to interject this. I know, practically speaking, this was a promotion. They were promoting, again, the second season of the House of the Dragon. But I want to remind you, the book of Ephesians tells us we do not wrestle flesh and blood, but against we wrestle principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Behind the natural, friend, is a real spiritual world. There are real spiritual forces of good and evil, light and darkness, demons and angels, angels of God, angels of Satan. All of this is happening. Demonic spiritual warfare is real and is happening behind the scenes. Most people that don't know the Lord, they're not saved, they're not born again, they're not full of the Holy Ghost, they're completely oblivious to this. And this is why when we talk about things like this, they'll laugh at us, they'll mock us, and they'll scorn us because they don't have any discernment. But I'm going to show you, for those who are spiritually mature and their senses are mature and they understand these things, we want to reveal some things to you today that I believe is chilling. Again, in the natural, this is just a promotion for a second season. Okay. But as Jonathan Kahn pointed out, is this another harbinger? Did we just witness another harbinger in New York City of all places? Recently, Jonathan Kahn wrote a piece to Charisma Magazine and said these sightings where in which these dragons were placed were included the Grand Central Station, Rockefeller Center, City Field, Wall Street, and the Empire State Building. While the dragon images are part of a campaign to promote the new HBO series, House of the Dragon, their appearance holds deeper symbolic and spiritual significance. The dragons are here. They have come to New York City. They have appeared in Grand Central Station. Their images have been seen on Rockefeller Center, and they have been seen on the ballpark of Citi Field and the New York Mets, according to Jonathan Kahn. He goes on and states further that the dragon imagery is not just a mere marketing ploy, but a sign of something deeper and more profound. In the Bible, the dragon symbolizes Satan, and he's absolutely right. He goes on to state that the Greek word drakon and the Hebrew word tanin, which can mean dragon, monster, creature, or serpent, all these describe Satan. Let me give an example of this. This is Revelation chapter 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. This is a picture of the nation of Israel giving birth to the Messiah. And listen what it says here. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon. And again, in Greek, this is drakon. It's serpent, beast, creature. Again, Jonathan Kahn is spot on. Then it goes on and says, this serpent has 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on its head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This is talking about the angels. First of all, this great fire red dragon here is symbolic. It's a picture of Satan. And with his tail, he draws out a third of the stars of heaven. This word stars here is not a star in the cosmos. It's the angels. Satan, remember, a third of the angels of God rebelled with Satan. And they took allegiance with him. And consequently, listen to this. 2024 is the Chinese year of the dragon. Are you kidding me? 2024 is the Chinese year of the dragon. By the way, China, if you know anything about China, the dragon is the symbol for the nation of China. This dragon in Chinese mythology was indicated a powerful, benevolent creature often associated with water, weather, and the heavens. Unlike the malevolent dragons in Western mythology, Chinese dragons are considered a symbol of power, strength, and, quote, good fortune. They also represent imperial symbolism and cultural significance and their national identity. In the process of time, the dragon eventually came to represent the Chinese nation and its people, and it's a source of national pride and cultural identity. So again, when we talk about the red dragon, the great red dragon, the world will equate that with China, but those who are born again and have understanding of the word of God, they will, when they hear the great red dragon or the red dragon, your mind will equate that with Satan. Now keep all this in mind, because this is what we're talking about here in this context here. Now, Khan warns that the appearance of these dragons in New York are biblical signs of judgment, or they are a harbinger. Now, again, by definition, a harbinger is an individual or thing that signals or announces the approach of another. It often refers to something that, again, foreshadows or precedes a future event. A harbinger can be a sign or indication of what is to come, something positive or negative. And in this situation, we're not talking about something positive here, being that it's representing Satan. Now, John, in case you don't know, and I know it's going to be a very small group of people, and I know, I understand in the chat and on the podcast and on the platforms here that we're listening to, there's going to be people that either love Jonathan Khan or they cannot stand Jonathan Khan. But just to give you a little context here, Jonathan Khan has wrote several books on the harbingers of things to come. He's done many novels on this. He talks about these harbingers that come from what he called the breach, referring to events like 9/11, where there was a breach of national security that echoes ancient warnings of judgment from the portions of Isaiah. Then he talks about the towers and what they represent, the pride and the power of America being taken down. He talks about the sycamore tree. He talks about the gazette stone. He talks about the Eris tree. So he talks about and covers in his novel, or novels rather. Khan goes further and says that these dragons and these images of these dragons scattered out throughout New York is a warning to America, suggesting that the nation turning away from God will lead them to judgment. The perpetuous smiles of heaven can never be experienced on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of right and order that heaven itself has ordained. Jonathan Khan quotes George Washington. He emphasizes that New York played a key part in America's founding, being the first capital and the site of Washington's inauguration. Now, guys, I want to point this out as well, that this is not New York's first time invoking idols and idolatry. For example, New York City, back in August of 2015, New York City displayed the Hindu goddess Kali on the Empire State Building. This image was part of a project called Projecting Change, which aimed to raise awareness about endangered species and environmental issues. So see, you can see in the natural, they're saying, well, no, this is why we're doing it, and this is what they'll tell you. In the natural, this is why we're doing this. But again, unless you understand the Hindu goddess Kali, are you kidding me? By definition, this was her form. Kali was she had an appearance of a fearsome appearance of destruction, of evil. She is, bottom line is, friends, Kali in the Hindu religion is a Hindu goddess known for, again, is depicted as a god of destruction, a goddess of change, power, and destruction. Okay, so again, and you're displaying that right there in New York City, of all places, the place where we were struck on 9/11, but the towers fell, the Pentagon was struck, and you're displaying this. Then, of course, beginning in June of 2015. New York City began to light up the entire city, including major landmarks, the Empire State Building, the One World Trade Center. They lit them up the colors of the LGBTQ community, or in other words, They lit them up to represent that we stand for pride, that we stand, we are celebrating, come on, what the Bible calls an abomination. Again, this was in June of 2015, and then in June 2019, for World Pride and 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, numerous buildings and landmarks across New York City, including again the Empire State Building and the One World Trade Center, were once again lit in rainbow colors throughout the month. And now every annual Pride Month celebration in June, we see this as well. Then, do you remember last year in June, a billboard was put up in Times Square, New York City, where they, again, this was another promotion where they premiered the Diablo 4 game. This was a game's marketing campaign. The billboard was predominantly displayed around the game's launch date of June 6, 2023. This high visibility location was chosen to capture the attention of many visitors and residents in this area. And again, Diablo, it is a term for devil. New York City, also in 2016, was the location where they put up the replica of the Ark of Baal, B-A-A-L. This was the false deity that Elijah dealt with the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Again, New York City opened arms right up and says, you know what? We'll do it here. Put the replica up right there in New York City. And of course, the replica was installed in New York City's City Hall Park on September 2016. So what are we talking about? We're talking about idolatry. We're talking about laying the welcome mat down for demons and destruction to a nation. And the watchmen see this and they're warning about this. And we're sounding the alarm saying these, all these symbolisms, the devil, the goddess of destruction, pride, blasphemy, abominations. And then you've got, you know, you've got the Ark of Baal. You've got Dracon, the dragon, the symbol of Satan. All this is in New York City, which again, they call this the gateway to America. It's the front door coming to the nation of America. My friends, wake up. Wake up and see. And I know there's going to be people out there that's going to, everything I just told you, you're going to laugh at it, you're going to mock it, and you're going to scoff it. But again, it's nothing new. They did the same thing in the days of Noah, and they did it in the days of Lot. And Jesus said in Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. But listen, you can do what you want with it, but I'm here to tell you, for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, and we know and discern the times and seasons in which we're in, this is huge news, and this is something, especially, listen, if you live in New York City, I would definitely be praying about this. A company in Switzerland known as Final Spark has constructed a bizarre hybrid biocomputer that combines lab-grown miniature human brains with electronic circuits. What is the purpose of this? This approach allegedly saves an extraordinary amount of energy compared to normal computers. The lab-grown miniature human brain, or brains rather, keep wearing out and dying, so this produces a problem. So what are these scientists in Switzerland doing to resolve this problem? They have to keep growing new ones to replace them. Stem cells that are derived from human skin tissues are used to create a 16 spherical brain called organoids. This is what they're actually called, organoids. This system depends upon this. Again, this is not some science fiction novel. This is actually taking place. Scientists at Final Spark are calling the hybrid computer the Neuro Platform. It's being reported that it only uses a fraction of the energy required to power a traditional setup. Again, the report says that this Swiss tech company is selling access to biocomputers that combine up to four tiny lab-grown human brains. I said lab-grown, with silicon chips in them. This new bioprocessing platform called the Neural Platform uses small versions of human brains to do computer work instead of silicon chips. Again, this company says that it can fit 16 of these mini brains on the Neural Platform and use a fraction of the energy required to power a traditional setup. Now let's talk about these quote unquote mini brains that they're using for this setup. According to the report, there is approximately 10,000, each one of these mini brains is made up of approximately 10,000 living neurons, and they are kept alive by a microfluidic system that supplies water and nutrients for the cells. Rather than merely integrating biological concepts into computing, Final Spark's online platform taps into spherical clusters of lab-grown human brain cells called organoids, which, again, a total of 16 of these things are housed within four arrays that connect to eight electrodes each and a microfluidic system that supplies water and nutrients to the cell. This is straight-up Frankenstein stuff. During the short lives of these mini brains, they are literally trained to perform certain tasks using a reward and punishment system. Is this not the creepiest thing you've ever heard of? How do they do this? Researchers train the organoids through a reward system. The organoids are rewarded with dopamine. Again, this is the neurotransmitter responsible for the pleasure and addiction in the brain. Meanwhile, the punishment system is when the organoids are exposed to chaotic stimuli such as irregular electrical activity. If the enslaved mini brains are obedient and do as they are required to do, they are rewarded with lots of pleasure. However, if they don't, they're struck with lots of irregular electrical activity. In other words, these brains are tortured until they learn to obey. Does anyone else out there think that this could pave the way for absolutely terrifying events in the future? Does it not churn your stomach to know that these Frankenstein scientists are behind closed doors in secret laboratories conducting these sick experiments? They're taking pathologies, they're taking viruses, they're taking diseases, they're taking animals, and they're mixing and mingling and creating things. They're trying to create artificial suns, which they already have. They're trying to manipulate the weather, which they already have. They're doing all these things. And again, there's no regard for human life, no regard for creation, no regard, no fear of God. And my friend, you know what this reminds me of? I want to show you what this reminds me of, and we're going to close tonight's program. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And he goes on, and you can read this whole chapter in your own time, but he talks about these men suppress the truth, these men and women suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They refuse to worship the Creator and instead worship the creation. He goes on and talks about them giving up their natural affections to do things that are unnatural. God gives them over to do these vile things. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. Then he goes down here. You go down here to, and I'm going to pull this scripture up so you can see this. I'm going to show you that, again, this is in your Bible, believe it or not. It's in Romans. In chapter 1, it says, look at this. In verse 28, Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, your translation may say reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. Look at this. Inventors of evil things. This, my friend, is the epitome, the absolute epitome of the invention of evil things. Now, this right here is an example. What do you think it's going to be like in Revelation 13 when the false prophet seeks out a group of people in the earth who will help him invent a image. In the Greek, it's ikonai, or where we get the word icon, that will both speak and live and cause the masses of the planet to worship the Antichrist, or they'll be dealt with severe consequences and even death. My friends, what am I saying here? I'm telling you, everything is falling into place. The tribulation is coming. The rise of the Antichrist is coming. The rise of the false prophet is coming. The emergence of the beast empire and the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. All of these things are coming. We're not going to wake up one day and it's here. It's the boiling frog syndrome. It's a slow process. It's stepping stones that is progressively leading us to the main event. I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Stick around because we've got some announcements and I got some information I want to share with you. But I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Now, why did I say that? Because it is very easy for us to hear these kind of headlines, to hear this kind of news, to hear this kind of information, and walk away with our head down and be suppressed and be oppressed about it and be sad about it. But friends, if you know the end of the book, if you know how the story ends, these things should not scare you. They should not stress you and they should not put fear in your hearts. They should put gladness and excitement. And that's why I left you with Luke 21:28, because Jesus told them, he said, look, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, don't walk away with your head down. Come on, get your head up and look up because your redemption is drawing near. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back out of heaven. Come on. And my Bible says, according to the book of Jude, he comes back with 10,000s of his saints. And if he's coming back with the saints, then we, the saints, have to first go up with him. Oh, come on. So how close are we to that glorious and miraculous event transpiring in our lifetime in Jesus' name? Come on. I hope you enjoyed this program. Again, please don't forget to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. Listen, I would love for you to keep up with our ministry. Here's how you do it. Download our free app. Available on Apple, Android devices. That's how you can pick it up today. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. By the way, as of June 26th, when we're recording this, our notifications are down because of the app on Apple and Android. We are working to get those up. I'd say by the end of probably by Friday or by Saturday, we should have that fixed. So listen, if you're not getting your push notifications, it's not because your phone's messed up. You don't need to delete and reinstall the app. It is something on the app side of the content creators, or not the content creator, but the Apple and Android. It goes over my head, guys. Honestly, I can't give you the verbiage for it. That's why we have a tech crew, a team behind the scenes that works on all this stuff for us, because it's definitely over my head and over my pay grade. But they're aware of it. We're getting it fixed and we're going to get it resolved. But listen, get the app, hit yes, push notifications. And when they are working, you're going to be notified of every headline, every podcast, but you'll still have it readily available in your hand. You can read the articles. You can watch or listen to our podcast. All that's there for you and for your benefit. Also, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. This helps us spread our word, spread the message. It helps help us to maintain, it helps us to be strong and active. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen or through the main website, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on tomorrow night, Thursday, June 27th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. I wanted to do some equipping messages, but we've got a lot of stuff coming in. There's a lot of information to get out to you. So bear with us. I promise you, we're going to have equipping messages as well, but we want to inform you of the times and seasons of which we're in. So we're going to have another great program for you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.